Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right. Put those hands together all over this place. Yeah. We come to praise him, we come to praise him and lift him up because he's worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
That's right, that's right.
David danced, prayed like David prayed. Hallelujah, glory to God, glory to God. Welcome to another wonderful day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is True Vine International Ministries. Amen, amen, glory to God. I am sitting in for Pastor Alona Waters. I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Once again, I am honored to sit here where the angel of worship sits and thank her for thinking of me on this time of this assignment. We lift her up in prayer on this evening. Amen. Glory to God. Before we get any further, I would like to open up in prayer. Amen. Glory to God. Father God, we thank you for what you're about to do. We thank you for what you've already done. We thank you for all the dangers you kept us from, seen and unseen, on today. God, we thank you, Father, for your lordship over our lives. God, we thank you, God, for your glory and your mercy. God, we thank you for keeping us, God, keeping us close to you, God, and never letting us go. Father, we just want to adore you. We just want to praise you and worship you, Father, and give our lives unto you. Give our services unto you, God. We thank you, God, for sending your son to die so we can have everlasting life with you, God. So we ask you to bless all our family, friends, and loved ones. We pray for peace on earth towards all mankind on today, God. We even ask you to lift up the leaders, Father, in ministry. Lift up the leaders in the White House. Lift up the leaders around the world, Father, that they will come closer to you, that we will get back into praying. We will put prayer back into the schools and into the churches. We'll get back to worship and praising you and being grateful for you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will dance like David danced, and I will pray like David prayed. Amen. Glory to God. This evening, I would like to read a few scriptures, elaborate on a few scriptures, and then talk about how sin enters into our life and how sin changes our life and the things we have to do to keep sin out of our life, the things we must do. Amen. I will be in the book of 2 Samuel, and I'll be starting at chapter 11, starting at verse 2. Amen. Glory to God. David, King David. Mighty, mighty man of God, King David. Hallelujah. David. You know, I think of David, and I use David as an example when I hear people come up with excuses why they think God can't use them or why God is not going to use me or how can God use me if I used to be this and I used to do that and I do this. There's many people in the Bible that were sinners, and God used them. They turned from their wicked ways. They turned away from sin. And sometimes, and most of the times, that's the thing we don't want to let go. We don't want to let go of those things that brings joy to our flesh. We don't want to let that thing go. That one thing or those two things or how many it may be could be the things that get us closer to God. We have to release them. We have to release them because even David paid a high price for his sin. And we're going to discuss those things on this evening. So I'm going to start at chapter 11, starting at verse 2. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah, the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. And when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed the purification rites after having her menstrual period. Then she returned home later when Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant. She sent David a message saying, I'm pregnant. Then David sent word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. So Joab sent him to David. When Uriah arrived, David asked him how Joab and the army were getting along and how the war was progressing. Then he told Uriah, go on home and relax. David even sent a gift to Uriah after he had left the palace. But Uriah didn't go home. He slept that night at the palace entrance with the king's palace guards. When David heard that Uriah had not gone home, he summoned him and asked, what's the matter? Why didn't you go home last night after being away from for so long? Uriah replied, the ark and the armies of Israel and Judea are living in tents, and Joab and my master's men are camping in the open fields. How could I go home to wine and dine and sleep with my wife? I swear that I would never do such a thing. Well, stay here today, David told him, and tomorrow you may return to the army. So Uriah stayed in Jerusalem that day and the next. Then David invited him to dinner and got him drunk. But even then, he couldn't get Uriah to go home to his wife. Again, he slept at the palace entrance with the king's palace guard. Ain't that amazing? Even in the midst of, we could be so conniving and so, just in the midst of sleeping with the man's wife, you're trying to convince him to go home to cover up your sin because if he goes home and sleep with his wife, now the baby looks like it's his. The baby, your sin in your mind, your sin is being covered, but your sin is not being covered in God's eyes. But even then, he couldn't get Uriah to go home because God wasn't allowing that. So now David arranges Uriah's death. So the next morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and gave it to Uriah to deliver. The letter instructed Joab, station Uriah on the front line where the battle is fiercest. Then pull back so that he will be killed. So Joab assigned Uriah to the spot close to the city wall, where he knew the enemy's strongest men were fighting. And when the enemy soldiers came out of the city to fight, Uriah the Hittite was killed along with several other Israelite soldiers. Now, David might thought he got away with something. He might look like he got away with it. You know, nobody knew. He think he got it covered up. Nobody know he gave a letter and arranged for Uriah to be killed. But believe me, he was not fooling God. He was not fooling God. Amen. Because after achieving great success, David left his guard down and temptation found him. And that is the thing that gets us, temptation. Temptation. What is the thing that you are tempted with? Who is the person who can tempt you? Is it a he, she? Is it money? Is it promotion? Is it a job? Is it a woman? Is it a short woman? What is it that tempts us that we let our guard down from being saved and walk into that sin? Temptation will find us. And to make matters worse, he tried to cover up his sin. But the Lord, before whom all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open light. And that is scripture. That is scripture. Matthew, Mark, Luke. In the book of Luke. Go with me to the book of Luke real quick, chapter 8, verse 17. I just want to back it up with scripture because I don't want it to seem like I just made this up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's Mark 8:17. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open and event everything that is concealed to light and made known to all. There's nothing we can do, think of, or hide that God does not know. There's no sin that we may think we got away with it. We may think we did when we cheated or cheated on somebody or cheated in a card game, stole something from someone, whatever the sin may have been. And it seems like we got away with it. Oh, but it is a costly, costly, costly. Sometimes so much. And guess what? It's not only costly to you. It's costly to others. It is costly to others. Jesus, God sees everything that David had done, and he was displeased with that. Because we can deceive ourselves, and we can deceive people terribly. But if we think that we can fool God, and we bring unnecessary suffering on ourselves and others, if you're married, you bring unnecessary suffering to your children, to your significant other, to your family members, you bring significant suffering to them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And is that fair? Because of our fleshly desires, because of our desires and wants and temptations, we're willing to put other people's lives in danger or to have them suffer and they don't even know why they're suffering? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you go to the book of, well, you're in the book of Samuel with me, go to chapter 11, verse 27, when it says, when the period of mourning was over, David sent for her and brought her to the palace, and she became one of his wives. Then she gave birth to a son, but the Lord was displeased with what David had done. Here come the cost, y'all. Here come the cost. It's a moment of pleasure, a moment of sinful, whatever it may be. Is it worth the cost of suffering? And not only you, the people you say you love the most, your family members, your children, your kids, your wife, your husband, is it worth it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is real to me, like one of the most. I'm learning that I am a married man and I do not want my wife suffering anything for my madness and for my stupidity, for my temptations, for my sinful nature. Because anything that God is unpleased with, I'm trying to stay away from. I'm not perfect. The Bible says we all fall short daily. I'm not saying I don't sin. I'm saying I don't directly commit sin. I don't get up like I'm going today. I'm going down here and stick up a bank. Or I'm going down here tomorrow and I'm going to rape somebody. I don't do those things. I don't get up trying to find sin. I don't. Hallelujah. Now we're going to go back to, we're going to go to chapter 12. We're going to talk about how Nathan rebukes David. And we're going to start at verse 7. Chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 7. Then Nathan said to David, "You are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and kingdoms of Israel and Judea. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more." Oh, my God. Can you see how much God will do for us if we stay righteous and walk upright and trust and believe in him and do the things that he has called us to do? He told us. Listen. Listen, you are the man. The Lord thy God of Israel says, I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdom of Israel and Judea. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Ammonites and stolen his wife. From this time on, your family will live by the sword because you have despised me by taking Uriah's wife to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Because of what you have done, I will cause your own household to rebel against you. And I thought about that for a minute. Now, I'm not saying this is everybody's household. So I'm going to talk about growing up in my house. Woo, that was a rebellious house. Now, I don't know if it was because the sins of my father and my mother and my generation. I don't know. But everybody rebelled in our home. Everybody rebelled. And the crazy thing is, now that I think about it, our baby sister, the baby, we called her Pigeon, she got murdered. And I'm not saying that's what God made happen, but I'm just thinking about the sinful nature of a household, of the leaders of the home, of those who love the Lord and proclaim to be of the Lord. There's a price to pay for sin. The Bible says death. Crazy, because I thought about it, and I thought about how she just got hit by the truck, and it was just like, I got out of nowhere. And then after that, our whole house got crazier. We became young alcoholics and young drug addicts and young thieves and liars and deceivers and manipulators. We became all those things that God is not represented in. We did not represent God in any kind of way in my household. And that's just the truth. That's the truth. And I kind of think that a lot of households, some saved, some not, are rebelling against God, doing things against God, doing things out of the will of God, proclaiming to be God's child, proclaiming to be God's servant, proclaiming to know the Lord, proclaiming to walk upright with the Lord, and think that God does not see the things that we do in the dark or behind closed doors. He knows all. He knows all. I will cause your own household to rebel against you. I will give your wives to another man before your very eyes. Now I don't know about nobody else. That's enough right there to hurt. Listen, God just come and take my wife and give her to another man right in front of me. I don't know too many men, being honest, can deal with that. But see, these are the things that we cause to happen in our lives. When we sin, God is not going to let my wife continue to stay with me and love me and be honorable to me if I'm running the streets and I'm doing everything except knocking on the door of hell. I'm everywhere except where I'm supposed to be. God is not going to take her through that torment, because after a while, he's just going to just separate us. And he might take me out of here. It ain't always going to be an easy separation. Okay, you go your way, he go his way. I'm going to make it so it ain't no more him. Because God is not pleased with sin. I don't care how we look at it. I don't care how we try to dress it up. God is not pleased with sin. Ain't no big sin, ain't no little sin. Sin is sin. So just because, I just cussed a little bit. I ain't cheating. Sin is sin. Amen. Glory to God. Don't let nobody fool you. Don't let the enemy fool you. Don't let nobody tell you that your sin is bigger than mine, bigger than yours. Hallelujah. I will give your wives to another man before you, your very eyes, and he will go, oh God, and he will go to bed with them in public view. You did it secretly, but I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. So now my whole family, all my friends, everybody know that my wife is sleeping with my best friend, or God done gave it to whoever he gave. Oh my God, no. Listen, I'm not prepared to even try to live that. I'm not even trying to prepare. Matter of fact, I try not to tempt God. I try not to tempt God. I try not to do nothing that's going. I don't want God upset with me. I don't want God angry with me. I don't want God, looking in the book of life with an eraser in his hand. Listen. Like, again, I didn't say I'm perfect, and I'm not saying that I do everything right. But believe me, when temptation comes my way and I see it and I know it and I know I'm about to walk in it, I do everything I can to get out of it. The Bible said God will make a way for you to flee. He'll make a way for us to get away, or make a way for us to escape. Now, if God make a way for me to escape, if something's coming my way and all of a sudden somebody pull up and say, hey, man, how you been? I ain't seen you in a while. Come on, let's go to lunch. And I don't get in the car and I say, oh, no, you go ahead. I'll catch up with you later. Then I already know that my flesh is overpowering the escape that God has made for me. And it's my desires now that I want more than I want what God is trying to take me away from. Amen. I will give your wives to another man before your very eyes, and he will go to bed with them in public view. You did not seek, you did it in secretly, but I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. And now we're going to talk about David's confession, and he's going to confess his guilt. In chapter 12, verse 13, then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, yes, the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin. Nevertheless, because you have shown utter contempt for the word of the Lord, by doing this, your child will die. For sinning, your child would die. For arranging someone's murder, your child shall die. For sleeping with somebody else's husband or wife, your child may die. I don't know what God has lined up or how he's going to do it, but the Bible said he told David, your child will die. And I'm not prepared to put myself in a position to take that chance on losing my wife or losing my children or grandchildren or anyone close to me or anyone in my family. I'm not willing to purposely get up in the morning and just walk out and act like a plumb fool and just do what I want to do. And especially when we proclaim we are of God, especially when we are servants of the Lord. We are called by God, anointed by God, baptized in the Holy Ghost by God, but still doing what we want to do. After Nathan returned to his home, the Lord sent a deadly illness to the child of David and Uriah's wife. David begged God, spare the child. He went without food and lay all night on the bare ground. The elders of the household pleaded with him to get up and eat with them, but he refused. Then on the seventh day, the child died. David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He wouldn't listen to reason while the child was ill. They said, what drastic thing will he do when we tell him his child is dead? When David saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he is dead. Then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord after that. He returned to the palace and was served food and ate. His advisors were amazed. "We don't understand you," they told him. "While the child was still living, you wept and refused to eat. But now that the child is dead, mourning and are eating again." David replied, "I fast and wept while the child was alive. For I said, perhaps the Lord will be gracious. Perhaps the Lord will be gracious to me. Whew. And let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me." Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and slept with her. She became pregnant, and they gave birth to a son. And David named him Solomon. The Lord loved the child and sent word through Nathan, the prophet, that they should name him Jediah, which means beloved of the Lord, as the Lord had commanded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The price of David's sin of murder and adultery was so high. It was so high. He spent the rest of his life regretting it. Can you imagine the torment and pain and suffering he went through? And we're going to, when we come back, we're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back. And we're going to go to a specific psalm where David expressed his mental torment and pleaded for forgiveness. He pleaded for forgiveness. When was the last time you asked for forgiveness for your sins? We'll be right back.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe, could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you pay. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life and still I heard you. Lost so many times to supply you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sin.
You played it all up on the cross. You bled and died, cause I was lost. So here I am, surrendering all. Lord, hear my cry. On my knees I fall. You paid it all. Oh, oh, you paid it all. Oh, I realize I'm no good. Ooh. Ain't no money I can pay in exchange for the blood you shed for my sins.
So
I surrender my heart, my life, my all
as a living sacrifice, Lord. I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight, so I can have everlasting
life. I never knew a love so true.
You gave your life.
You gave
but
your life.
I'm
You paid it all up on the cross. You bled and died.
Canceled my past. You paid it all up on the cross. And I think about that sometimes when I'm alone or I'm just thinking about Jesus. I think about the torment and the suffering that he went through just that day and how people spit on him and just laughed at him and mocked him and get yourself down, have you the Messiah, get, and all those things. And he still took on everybody's sin, even the ones that was gambling with his clothes at his feet, the ones who fed him vinegar water. Listen, Jesus took on all our sins. So we have another chance. So we won't have to walk around in the dark. So we won't have to die and go to the pits. Yes, I believe in hell. And yes, I believe in heaven. And yes, I believe in Satan. And you know I believe in God. But a lot of times I'm finding that people think sin is fun. And it's crazy because I was one before I was saved. Before I got saved, I thought I was having fun. I really thought all of the crazy madness that I was partaking in, I thought I was having fun. I thought I was living. But all along, I was dying. I didn't start living until I got to know Christ. Until I got to know Christ on the cross, after he came off the cross, and after he descended, after he beat up Satan, after he ascended, after he sat down on the right hand of the Father and gave me a chance to be baptized, to get to know him, to be a part of his family. Oh, my God. I think about that, how foul and filthy sin is. And how foul and filthy sin was in my life at that time. Glory to God. Glory to God. I really sit back and I try. I know you're probably tired of hearing me say it. I am really, oh my God. I do not try to purposely sin. Sin is not of God. Hallelujah. We're going to go to the book of Psalms. Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus, for saving our souls. You know, I think about the Old Testament sometimes and how they fully trusted in God, how they truly trusted in God. I'm not saying all of them, but they trusted in God, especially the saved holy people. Look at Abraham. He gave Abraham the promise that all people of earth would be blessed through him. Like, God can use us to do anything. Don't let nobody fool you and tell you it's okay to do things out of the will of God. Anything that's against the will, anything that's against God, the opposite of God, is not of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you. I was sitting here and I was trying to remember a scripture that talks about before we were sin, before we were saved, how we walked in the dark and how we walked in foolishness ourselves. And sometimes I think about when we see people that's in sin, or we see people that don't know Christ, what is going through their minds, what kind of torment may they be going through, or what kind of hell they may be going through. And how many times do we greet people and we don't have to bombard them with the word of the Lord, but just greet them and wish them a nice day. How you feeling? Good morning. And if the door opens, then we can tell them about the goodness of the Lord. Because I'm one that don't want nobody to die and go to hell. That's just me. I don't wish that on nobody. I don't. I wish that on no one. I don't. I want everybody to worship the Father all day long, sit around and praise God. And whatever God allows us to do in heaven, I want everybody to do it. Because do you ever think about people that you know, that you say you cool with, and how we separate? And I know we got to separate ourselves from people at times, but we don't have to separate ourselves to the point where we can't reach out and call them and tell them about the Lord or talk to them. I don't care if they ignore our calls or ignore your texts or whatever. But you just continue to plant that seed. And I truly believe that God will do the rest. Because I just didn't get saved when somebody walked up on me first and gave me a track, or somebody ministered to me, or even when in church, I didn't get saved the first time I went to church. I went to church a couple of times and I didn't get saved. And then when I did go, I did get saved, and then I still end up backsliding. But thank God for the people that he sent my way that was obedient enough to continue to do the work, to continue to minister when they seen me lost, continue to draw me in when they seen me in a dark place, continue to tell me about the goodness of the Lord, continue to speak into my life, to continue to pray for me and let the blood of God, of Christ, cover me. We got to get back to using the tool. We got to get back to praying. We got to get back to interceding for the lost. We just can't let people walk around and we know what we know, and because they don't, even if they is in a backslidden position, even if they do ignore, even if they do slander and cuss at us or whatever, we have a job to do that no man fall. That no, God don't want nobody to come short. He wants us all to make it. And that's why he rose some of us up. That's why he called us. That's why he anointed us. That's why the Holy Spirit is in you. That's why the words of God is in you. That's why the power of God is in you. But if it's not being used, it's like having a library full of books and you never read them. They're just there. Amen. Glory to God. In the book of Psalms, chapter 51, I believe, and this is I believe, I might be wrong, I just believe it's a prayer of repentance. I just believe David was repenting strong here. Have mercy upon me. I believe this is after Nathan, the prophet, went to him after he had gone to Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then, transgressors, your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure of Zion, to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. The end of the wicked and the peace of the godly. Hallelujah. In verse 2, when David confessed his sin to with Bathsheba, something great and hopeful happened, because in the Old Testament, the word cleanse is a technical term for cleansing of a leper. And David was saying, Lord, take the leprosy from my soul and make me clean again. Make me clean again. In verse 7, he talked about purging with hyssop. That also was a ritual in the Old Testament, a cleansing prescribed in the law of the Israelites. Contact with dead bodies. David's request is for God to take away his sin. Hallelujah. In verse 11, he says, what? Do not cast me away from your presence. To be cast away from the presence of God means that a person is lost forever. Because in the Old Testament, remember, God removed his spirit from Saul because of Saul's sin. And David didn't want that to happen to him. How many of us don't want that to happen to us? Repent. Repent. Confess your sins. Go to God. Confess your sins. Repent your sins. Hallelujah. 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 We got to go back to the root. That moment when we said, Father, take my life. I give my life over to you. And then that moment of baptism and the Holy Spirit, trusting and believing in God. We got to. We truly, truly have to begin, continue to trust in God. Sin is not the way. Sin is not of God. Sin is not of God. Amen. Hallelujah. What does the Bible say about sin? Huh? When you read your Bible, what does it say about sin? Amen. So we got to take this thing personal too. Just like we take our relationships and our jobs and our football games and our basketball games. We got to take this serious. What does the Bible say about sin? Is it pleasing to God? Is God happy when we sin? We know sin is a messy thing. Sin is a foul, dark, nasty thing. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for... I am so, so glad. People who prayed for me, prayed for me. I am so glad for those that are still doing the work to help us, to teach us to stay away from sin. Amen. Because I look at the things of the world today, and I know we're not of the world, even though we live in the world. But there's so much sinful stuff going on, and people don't even want to talk about it. God offers forgiveness for us all. He offers forgiveness to us all. We have no excuses. Amen. Hallelujah. I just wanted to share that tonight. I just didn't want anyone getting comfortable in sin. Because there are people who are comfortable in sin. There are people who are uncomfortable in living the way they're living and think it's okay. Well, I do. You ever hear people say, well, I get saved tomorrow. I'll do it when I get 20. Right now I'm having too much fun. You think you're having fun. You're not having fun. You're going further and further away from Christ. People are waiting for you. Hallelujah. So with that being said, I thank each and every one of you once again for coming on tonight's show. Amen. Glory to God. We appreciate you. We really love your coming in with us and spending your Thursday evenings with us. Amen. Glory to God. We're here to do the work of the Lord. Amen. And amen. This is who we are, True Vine International Ministry. And this is what we do. We help try to do our best to save souls. We try to do everything by the Bible. If we can direct you away from sin, here we be. If we can pray with you, here we are. If we can teach you anything about the Bible, you have any questions, here we are. We're here. Pastor Lona Waters. True Vine International Ministry. There's no questions she won't answer for you if she can answer them. She will never turn her back on anyone just seeking Christ or seeking to be a better Christian or having issues who need prayer, whatever it may be. She's here for you. So with that being said, once again, we thank you, all our listeners. And we appreciate you sharing. We're going to close in prayer now, and then we're going to have a song. And just remember that when you're sinning, you're not only hurting you, but you're hurting, and there's a possibility that people close to you can suffer for your sins. Amen. Father God, we heard your word on this evening, and we pray, Father, this fell on fertile ground, God. So, Father, for all of us that are in backsliding positions, sinful modes, whatever it may do, Father, what do we have to do to get closer to you, Father? Wash all our sins away from us. Cleanse us, God, oh God. Cleanse us. Cleanse our minds. Cleanse our hearts. Cleanse our mouths. Cleanse our tongue, God, so we won't speak evil of anyone. Cleanse our minds so we won't think lustful or sinful thoughts, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you free reign to lead our lives, God. We give you free reign to evict anything that is us that's not like you. We give you free reign to tear down everything that's not like you in us, Father. Have your way in our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the sick and the shut in on today, Father. You know the needs of your people. Touch every bone, Father. Touch every vessel. Touch every nerve, God, in the name of Jesus. Heal with your healing virtue, God. We pray, we pray, we pray for Pastor Lona Waters tonight. Father, we just pray that you continue to have your way in her life. We pray that we know that you're going to send us back to us, Father, to do what you have called her to do. So we thank you in advance for the speedy recovery, God. We love you. We praise you. We glorify you, Father. We ask you to pray. We pray once again for the nations all over the world. Even our enemies we pray for on today. We thank you, God. We glorify you. We lift you up because there's none like you. And we say thank you to you. And we say thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We love you, God. And we thank you once again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
Make it. tithes unto you. Give our service unto you, God. We thank you, God, for sending your son